Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Is this thing on? Buffalo Wild Wings sent us a gift. They're some sort of goggles. And when you put them on, you can't see anything. Like right now, I feel like I'm drunk. And I haven't had a sip of alcohol yet today. I have no clue where I'm at right now. It's completely blurry. I could see myself on one of the cameras, but it is completely blurry. I guess it's halftime of one of these games because I see the studio. I cannot tell you who is in the studio, though. It looks like it's a large fella. Maybe Barkley. But outside of that, like, Samter, I can't even see you. And I know Stu's there, but Stu, I have... If you asked me right now, if we sat someone down and brought someone randomly in the room and said, try to identify who that is, I'd have no damn clue who Stu is right now. Put up some fingers, Samter. Let me see if I can see anything.
This is my cousin Vinny. How many fingers am I holding up now?
Are you flipping me the bird?
I certainly am.
Oh, okay. I can't see that. I just know your sense of humor.
No, I got four fingers up.
Yeah, I can't even see.
I got
see.
A camera on me. I'm not flipping you the bird.
Oh.
No, I got four fingers up right now.
Yeah, I can't see. Stu, put a finger up. I can't even see. Stu looks like a blob. I don't even know anything surrounding Stu. You have fingers up, Stu?
I do.
Two?
Incorrect. Oh. Three.
No, it's just all a guess. I keep on hitting the microphone, too. So what are these, Samter? Go ahead.
Those are the B-Dubs Vision Goggles. They are see-through lenses, full 360 view, reflective mirrors, stylish and comfortable. There are multiple mirrors that are adjustable, so you can watch games in front of you, to the left of you, behind you. You can catch all the March Madness action all at once. Now, here's the important thing. The goggles that you have on now, the problem is you're sober, right? If you flip them up, you can see. The more you drink, that's when you pop them down, because it kind of offsets the blurriness of the actual beer goggles, so they become like reverse beer goggles.
Now I can see you guys because I flipped the goggles up. But if I flip them back down, I can't see anything. So you know what we should try to do here? Do you think I could walk in a straight line if I flip these down?
A straight line, yes, but you're definitely going to walk into something.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, I think I could walk in a straight line because I'm not drunk, right? So I know how to walk. But if there's a chair or something, I would definitely fall into the chair.
I feel like we should test this theory out.
Yeah. The only thing is, would the camera be able to follow me is the question.
Yeah, we can follow you.
Okay.
We have talent.
So let's see. I'm going to try to stand up. And I guess I'll talk very loudly. If there's dead air, let me know.
I can also
honestly
do a play-by-play.
I'm trying to stand up. I don't want to hit anything.
All right. Now, he's standing up very gingerly. Okay, he already bumped into his own chair. I mean, he stood up and immediately walked into his own chair. There is something in front of him that he does not see coming, and he doesn't know when it's going to come, and right into another chair. There he goes. Down goes Zach. Ladies and gentlemen, Zach Gelb has walked into a chair and almost knocked over a computer. He's coming back, I think. Now, the question is whether he's going to be able to find his chair and sit down without falling on his keister. All right, he's looking. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't recommend wearing these goggles unless you've had a few drinks, because right now Zach is having trouble fitting his way back into his chair. Oh, there he is. Ladies and gentlemen, he's back. Zach Gelb, welcome back.
I've never felt more lost in my life, if I'm just being honest. Also, when my butt was facing the camera, I thought of doing the Randy Moss, the despicable act. Back at Lambeau Field all those years ago.
Well, the funny thing is, your butt at no point was facing the camera. That's how blind you were with those glasses
on. Oh, really?
Yep. At no point was your butt facing the camera.
This is crazy. This is what Stu probably feels like on a Saturday night, honestly.
Oh, man.
These are wild. I look stupid here. But when you put them down, you really can't see crap.
Listen, you might be stupid, but if you had four games at once, you'd be able to catch them all at the same time.
Sure. So I'm going out to where Plug Uglies tonight. Imagine if I put these on and just walk into the bar with these goggles on.
You'll be the center of attention.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. I got to take these things off. This actually gives you a headache. So, there we go. These are crazy. Absolutely crazy. So someone sent these to you from Buffalo Wild Wings?
We got those sent over. It was actually Hank who's the Buffalo at Buffalo Wild Wings. She's a good friend of mine. We go way back.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was the Buffalo?
Yeah. You've seen the commercials with Hank, the Buffalo who sits at the bar.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, me and Hank go back. Hank wears those because, you know, Buffaloes don't have great vision, and I think that helps him out.
Oh, my God. I actually have a headache now. I don't know why. When you take away one of my senses, I think all my senses just go.
Usually it's the opposite. You take away one sense,
and you think you have a heightened awareness.
Yeah,
no.
Not you.
I couldn't hear. I couldn't speak. I couldn't smell.
You thought your butt was facing the camera.
I literally, I'm like, oh, my God, I think I'm mooning the camera right now. And there was, so you could see that objects are coming, but you don't know, like, what the object is. So I'm not kidding. My right knee, I hit so I knew that there was a monitor right there, the call screener. But there's a table on, like, that holds up the call screener. I banged my knee into that little table. And you know what? I may need to call out the rest of the day. I may need to do that. So anyway, this could be the most interesting thing someone has ever sent to me, if I'm being honest. I don't get the point of it. I really don't.
I mean, the point is, if you can see through the lenses, you have mirrors so you can see every game at once.
You can't see through the lenses.
It's details.
It's physically, like, do me a favor. Can you come in here, Santer? Santer, come in here. Let's see what ends up happening. Two-Tone Tony is right. I could get some workers' comp out of this. Let's just put Santer real quickly, put the goggles on, and see if you could walk back to where you just came from. So Santer has the goggles on. Hold on. How many fingers am I holding up? You have no clue.
Seven.
Oh, I only have one hand up, so it can't be seven.
That's
now
weird.
Now try to turn back around. Santer has the goggles. You actually look pretty good in these.
All right, I'll be honest. So, face this way, which I think is the door.
Yeah.
The light directly in my eyes, and I think I'm blind now.
Okay, just try to walk. I'll give you like a warning sign if you're really going to hurt yourself. So Santer's walking pretty straight. There's a chair right there. Santer hit the chair, and
how
now he's falling back.
Straight ahead.
Because it's the update anchor's chair. All right, he is past the chair. Now trying to see Santer open up the door here. Oh, my God. He's going for the thermostat and the lights in the studio. All right. He has the door open. And now we're going to see if he could walk back. Now, Stu, I need you on the play-by-play here real quickly. Is he close to getting back into the studio? Because now I can't see. He's now back in the studio.
He has made it in the studio.
You know, I think Santer's enjoyed a few nights out, some late nights. And he's had a few drinks.
He's good at this.
He's a good drunk here. He's much better at walking than I am at this. And here we go. Santer's at the chair. The chair's bigger than him, so he should be able to sit down in it. That'll be fine. And he just fell.
Oh, no, he fell.
Down goes Santer. He fell trying to get in the chair because that's a big jump up for Santer to get back into the chair. All right, he has the chair. He still can't back his butt up into the chair. He just can't do it. He is touching the microphone. Don't touch the dump button because we don't want to delay anything. Will he?
He just
hit the microphone.
The microphone.
You have to do is just jump up into the chair backwards. Yeah, like if Saquon Barkley could hurdle someone backwards, you can't. There we go. He's in the chair. Now, Stu, do you want to try these goggles?
Yeah, sure. I'm down.
All right. Give the goggles to Stu. Let's see if Stu can walk into the room and give me a high five. So we're going to see. So Stu has to take off his regular glasses like I did. Stu now has on the Buffalo Wild Wing. What are these? Sports goggles? What's the wording of this?
Vision goggles.
All right.
He's putting them on upside down and backwards.
Yeah.
You told me.
Oh. Yeah.
You put that.
Now we're getting a Samter Stu fight. We say that this is just another day that ends in Y. All right. Here comes Stu. He can't see. We may break the board and then we'll be done as a network potentially. That would be some way to go. So Stu is walking in a putrid red Devils jersey. He is past Santer. All righty. He is past Santer. Now he's got to locate the door. This is going to be difficult. I think he's located the door a little bit too early. Everyone's going for the thermostat here. So he's at the thermostat. All right. Stu has the door open. I think Stu is the best person to see out of these goggles compared to Samter and I, because he's moving at a crazy pace. Now, Stu is about to hit the other door. He has pushed the other door open. Now Stu has to walk over to me and give me a high five. Now this could be the tricky part. Stu is at an electric pace right now. He is like the Usain Bolt of these goggles right now. Stu is about to crash into Axe Update chair. He has hit the chair. All right, he has now gone past the chair. Now can Stu locate my hand and give me a high five? See, it's so funny because I could see you. Like, I see you're like, he did it! He did it! Boom! Onions! Double sauteed! Nice job there by Stu. Alrighty, you know what? I think we need to call somebody else in here. What about our boss, David Mayernick? Let's see if we can get Mayernick if he's not doing, imagine. Oh, here's David Mayernick right on cue! Hold on, David. Let's have David go in that room. Have David sit where Stu is. So let's put Mayernick, our boss. By the way, can we put David Mayernick on a microphone real quickly? Can David hear me? I know he doesn't have any headphones in right now. Well, let's see if we get our boss. No, I still can't hear David. Let's see. You know, it's been a long time. Mayernick now, big time boss since he's had to run a board. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. How have the interviews been going for the overnight position, by the way?
Interviews have been going great. We've had a really good time. You know, lots of good questions, lots of good responses, back and forth. It's been a good process.
All righty. So this is David Mayernick. He's our boss. I won't be too much of a jackass. But David, take off your regular glasses right now. We are going to put the Buffalo Wild Wing goggles on David Mayernick. David, what you need to do is walk out of that room, walk through this door in the studio, and give me a high five.
Understood.
How quickly do you think you could do this in? Stu, we should have timed Stu. Stu did it at a record pace.
Well, you know, it's funny, Zach, as I saw Mikey come by with the glasses a couple days ago, and yeah. It looked like Walleye from Hot Shots. You remember the John Cryer character?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
100%.
So, I don't think this is going to go well for me, but I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, I see. Here's the thing. I don't want David to get injured. You know, I've had other bosses that maybe I would want them to get injured, but David's not a boss that I would like to get injured.
Exactly.
And I could just see David face planting here.
All right, let's do it.
So I know your wife, if your wife is listening, I'm very sorry that we're making David do this. So David, when the goggles go on and he takes his first step, I will start the clock. All right, the goggles are on. We're off and running. Here comes David. He's walked past Samter, or he's coming right around the turn on the corner of Samter. David smacked his own butt because I think he felt Samter smack his butt too. David is already at the door of the studio. He is now in our studio. Now, this is the tricky part. He is walking.
Can I point to you?
Yeah, you can point to me. You may not be pointing in the right direction. All righty. Here comes David. Oh, this is where it could get tricky. Let's see. Oh, he slapped my hand. Oh, my God. 33 seconds. David Mayernick. See, this is where I think we may need to bring somebody else in. Because Mayernick is our boss. Oh, wait. David really can't see because he's trying to get out and he's struggling to get out. David, though, knows every square foot of this studio. So let's try one more person. There's someone I went to college with, and he is now working here, Greg Frank. Greg Frank is in the newsroom. Can we get Greg Frank into Stu, and let's see if he could find a way to get in here. So David's going to get Greg Frank. People are asking me, who's the boss that you didn't like? It's none of my bosses that were ever here. I've actually liked all my bosses that have ever been here. So now
very
the YouTube
political.
Chat is...
Very political.
No, that's the truth. I love Chernoff, I love Spike, and I love Ryan Hurley and David Mayernick. I have had no issues with anybody here. So Greg Frank, go there, Greg Frank. I want you to go where Stu is. So Greg Frank is a college buddy of mine. I think I hired him at the student radio station that we did work in. And Greg Frank is going to put on these goggles. Have Greg sit down. Don't put on the goggles yet, Greg. Let's have Greg sit down in Stu's chair without the goggles on. Now, this could get very interesting. And Greg Frank, people don't know this about him. He once won, or he got screwed out of a competitive eating contest. Quickly, can we get Greg's microphone on? I think, Greg, this could be a good test if he knows how to actually work the board here at the Infinity Sports Network. There you are. Hello,
hey.
Greg. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
So I'm doing fantastic. Quickly, give us like the SparkNotes version. You were at Cherry Hill East High School, correct?
Yeah.
And there was a wing competition?
My sophomore year.
Yeah. And you got kicked out of the wing competition,
I did.
Correct?
Yes.
So explain the story how.
So there was a senior who was the favorite to win the event.
Yeah.
And he was a standout wrestler.
Oh.
So he had to make weight.
Okay.
So he was fasting all day.
Oh, so he couldn't eat the wings.
Well, the event was after his meet.
Oh, okay.
So the wrestling meet gets delayed, and then they delay the start of the event for him to show up.
Okay.
So the first round was divided into two heats.
Okay.
15 and 15. Mm-hmm. I'm in the first heat. He, of course, is in the second heat because he was
on the wrestling team. Yeah.
I dominate the first round.
Are you out of breath, by the way?
I had a... I'm fine.
You seem very tired right
okay.
now.
Okay. No. I dominate the first round.
Yeah.
Huge lead. After both heats, you know, he's late for his second heat. So I'm thinking like, okay, like he's not going to show up and I'm going to win.
Okay.
Shows up right before the second round starts. And then the student government president who runs the event like polls the audience. Do we let him in? Like, what do we do? He's a senior, standout wrestler.
Got the popular vote.
Popular guy, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm in the lineup. There's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
You know, of course they let him in. Changes my strategy. I vomited in the semifinals.
Oh!
Yeah. And
you got disqualified?
I got disqualified.
And he won?
And he won.
That's a great injustice, by the way.
It sure is.
It's a terrible injustice.
Been telling the story for 15 years now.
Yeah. So anyway... Greg, you should tell that story when you're out at parties. I think it would work out well.
Oh, yeah, that will do great with the women.
Anyway, we have these goggles. You can't really see with these goggles. Santa has done this. Stu has done this. David Meredith has done this. I believe either you're going to do this successfully or you're going to get injured.
Okay.
One or the other.
Not
we'll see what happens.
The middle ground there.
So we're going to put these goggles on. And you have to get up, walk out of that studio, walk into my studio, and you have to give me a high five. So the moment when Mr. Frank gets these goggles on and takes the first step, we will start the clock. And Greg is off and running. Greg is off. Oh, Santa. Oh, he just hit the chair. He hit the chair. I was like, Santa moved out of the way as if like the building was on fire, and Greg hit the chair. The doors open. The goggles just got smacked by the door for a second. Greg has found the studio door. He's 19 seconds in. Now, this is the tricky part because Greg is in the studio. He just hit Maggie Gray's baseball jersey. And Greg is going for the high five. He's trying to give me a high five. All you got to do is get the hand. All you got to do is get the hand. And he got the hand. He got the hand. He got the hand. And I'm getting assaulted right now. So there we go.
I'm not injured.
Yes, you are not injured. Well, try to get out of the room. Okay. Wait, hold on. You're about to hit something. 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 Oh, watch out. You're about to hit something. Greg is out of the building. All right. We will take a break. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. 18 minutes on goggles. Hey, by the way, Auburn is up 47-33 up against Alabama State. Oh, actually, Stu. Can I get my my Bill Raftery onions thing, and I'll do all the scores real quickly. All righty, we'll give you the NCAA tournament update. McNeese is up right now, up against Clemson in the opening round of the NCAA tournament. At halftime, McNeese is blowing out Clemson, 31-13. Will Wade hasn't left yet, even though he's going to NC State. A phenomenal performance so far by McNeese. We'll see if they can hold on in the second half. BYU early, 13:34 left in the first half. They're up 14-12 up against VCU. Auburn 47, Alabama State 36 with 17:27 to go in the first half. And we already have finals. Houston destroyed SAU Edwardsville 78-40. Wisconsin 85, Montana 66. Purdue 75, High Point 63, Creighton 89, Louisville 75. And with the latest Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash, I'm Zach Gelb. All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. You know what? I just realized what I thought I looked like when I was wearing those Buffalo Wild Wings glasses. And the person I thought I look like, Stu, I know we talked about Adam Sandler a week or two ago with Happy Gilmore 2 coming on out. Have you seen most of these Sandler movies or no?
No, I've seen Happy Gilmore, the original, but a lot of Sandler movies, probably not.
Did you see Mr. Deeds?
No.
Oh, my God. You need to watch Mr. Deeds. Mr. Deeds is a good movie.
There's a laundry list of movies I've been told I have to see.
Yeah, but like what? The ones that Bill Goodfellas, Reiter used to tell you about? Forget about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I Ack yesterday has been.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, tell me to watch Goodfellas.
Oh, okay. Spider. But anyway, Mr. Deeds is an awesome movie. It's like a funny movie. So Steve Buscemi is in Mr. Deeds, and he plays this character, Crazy Eyes. And I thought I looked like Crazy Eyes when I was wearing those Buffalo Wild Wings glasses. So that's what I ended up thinking. Santa, you're a big Mr. Deeds fan, right? If memory serves me right?
I sure am.
Okay. You look like you're like a little like frazzled after everyone just came into the studio.
No, I'm fine
with
that.
You still don't have the goggles on, you know that, right?
I was trying to decide if I love Mr. Deeds or not, but yeah, it's very funny.
Oh, is that a controversial take for you?
It's not controversial, but like I don't know if I have it in my top five Sandler movies.
Okay.
It's close.
For me, it is.
It's like it's top seven for sure.
Yeah, no, I think it's an awesome.
There is a point where Mr. Deeds owns the Jets and punches the Jets quarterback in the face, and then the quarterback's dad calls him to apologize. Yeah.
No, so Daddy, weird. No!
No, Daddy!
Because the dad then starts beating up the quarterback with a belt. Some movie.
Yeah.
Also, the Blackfoot in there with the pond. And then, I like to change your socks, Mr. Deeds.
I also remember the Jets quarterback saying that he was the best quarterback in the NFL and he threw for over 3,000 yards.
Like, wow. Oh, wow. Yeah, how times have changed.
Times have changed.
Now you'd be a bum with a capital B. Anyway, I want to get back into the NCAA tournament. So, Stu, you are a Duke fan, correct? Is that right?
No, that is not true.
Oh, I've been told wrong information?
Yes, which is shocking from the source you probably got it from.
Who do you think the source is?
His first name starts with an A and last name is Gallo.
Oh, no. I think Hickey actually told me you were a Duke fan.
Oh, because he got it from him, yeah.
Oh, okay.
When I was younger, I liked Jay Williams and J.J. Redick. So when I was like 7, 8, 9 years old, I was a Duke fan.
Okay.
I am not a Duke fan these days. I'm a Rider fan, which is not great in its own right, because that's where I went to school, but I'm not a Duke fan.
So, Jay Williams, do you still like him?
I liked him as a player. I'm not the biggest fan of him as like an announcer or commentator.
And J.J. Redick, do you still like him, even though he coaches your Lakers right now?
I do. I think he's done a good job.
He's done a good job.
Yeah, he's done better than I thought he would.
He's still pretentious, but he actually turns out to be a good basketball coach.
I'm not here with a Cooper Flagg jersey, you know, carrying pom-poms around, rooting for Duke to win the title.
Now, my team is down and out, the great team that I rooted for. But you look at the allegations of Stu just jumping ship from bandwagon to bandwagon. Lakers, Yankees, Duke, Notre Dame football.
Yeah, this is what I was worried about.
This is not a good look for you. At least you got the Raiders in there.
Yeah, you got
a crappy team in there. And the Devils, even, they won a bunch of championships way back then.
When I was like 4.
Yeah, they'd have like the parade in like a parking lot and 8 people would show up.
Oh, God.
But anyway, do you think Duke is hated entering this NCAA tournament? Yes or no?
No, definitely not as much as they used to be.
Santer, do you still think there's a hatred for Duke entering the NCAA tournament?
Yes, but to Stu's point, it's not nearly as bad as it used to be.
So I remember, right, obviously, when Coach K walked away and he was on the run to the Final Four, Duke ends up losing to UNC. And you had like people that were so excited that weren't Duke or UNC fans, right? Leading into that game. And a lot of the excitement was, oh, this is going to be a perfect way for the nail to go into the coffin on the career of Mike Krzyzewski. And I'm like, man. I thought that was just, like, really rotten. And, like, Hickey, he hated Duke. And I go, why do you hate Duke? It's not like Penn State plays in the ACC, and he goes, they're just insufferable. But now with John Shire as the coach, I get it they have Cooper Flagg, and we'll see, you know, if he's going to be able to play and how long he's going to be able to play. And I think Duke is going to find a way to win it all. But I don't think there is a level of animosity still with Duke. Where anywhere close to what it used to be, right? And you go through in all those years, like you think of people that hate Duke. Who are the first two names you mentioned? Christian Laettner and Mike Krzyzewski And recently, you know, in this last run of things, Grayson Allen. People couldn't stand Grayson Allen. But now, like, I look at Duke, and I don't have any hatred for Duke. Quite frankly, I just respected Krzyzewski when he was there, but I understood why people hated him. But now going into this tournament with Coach K not there, I don't think Duke is a villain like they used to be. Still a great school, still a great basketball program, right? John Shire, if they don't get to the Final Four, it's an absolute joke. But I don't feel as if there's this national level of hatred still with Duke. And I know people will call and be like, oh, I can't stand Duke, blah, blah, blah. But I don't feel like the way that it used to be, Samter, when we take a look back with Krzyzewski being there.
No, the interesting thing is, I guess there are certain people who hated Coach K, but I don't think that people hated Duke because of Coach K. They hated Duke because of what they represented, almost like this elitist kind of group of people at a very high level school. You know, Leitner and Bobby Hurley and Redick and you know, Grayson Allen and these guys. But I don't think that Coach K was hated. So I don't think changing from Coach K to Shire changes whether or not they're hated or not.
Oh, I think a lot of people hated Coach K. Like, I respected Coach K. I know Samter is on his Coach K push because he had a little texting conversation with him last week.
Dream come true.
Yeah. So Samter, you could Coach K could walk into this room right now and smack Ack in the face, and Samter would be like, oh, Coach K is the greatest person in the world.
But that's the thing is, I never liked Duke, but I always loved Coach K. Like, I don't know. I could be wrong, but
well,
I don't
I'm
think
in the same boat as you. I never hated Duke, and I never hated Coach K. But, like, Hickey had no reason to hate Duke, had no reason to hate Coach K, and he would. That was a big fight we got in. I go, it's fake outrage. Like, you're just jumping on the bandwagon with everybody else to hate someone. I'm like, what are you actually hating Coach K about? You know, that he just wins so much? So let's ask Ack this, because Ack's a UNC fan.
If he hits me, I'm hitting him back.
Oh, really? You're going to hit a senior citizen? That's not nice.
Hey, he drew first.
Yeah. Do you hate Coach K?
I wouldn't say hate. I'd say dislike, but respect very highly.
Okay. Why do you dislike him?
You know what? It's very layered. Number one is obviously the success is a part of it. Mm. But it's the way, you know, they claim, and look, I can't fault them for this, but it's the way they claim their territory. You know, Duke is a little different. You know, they're sort of like the, or at least when the run started with the Christian Leitner, and even though Bobby Hurley is from blue collar Jersey City, they were sort of like the preppy with the collar up.
Okay.
So they're a very easy team to dislike. Now, the one thing I'll say in Coach K's favor, which to me, this is why.
Well, you could be the Duke of update anchors. Yeah. You got your collar up a lot these days.
Yeah. Well, that's because of anger, you know. But, you know, he, you know, unlike John Wooden, and this is certainly no disrespect to John Wooden, but Mike Krzyzewski changed incredibly with the times. He started from building a team, and then in the late 90s when he had William Avery and Elton Brand, he let those guys go, and, you know, he started, you know, he was able to really start the one and done or, mm-hmm. you know, win with a roster and a lot of turnover. And you look at the way he won over all the decades, it's pretty remarkable. Not only did he win, but the way he won, changing, I don't know if you want to call it philosophy, but the way he built his roster.
So let me then also just follow up and ask you this. And this mm-hmm. is sort of in the same conversation, but it has to do with the Duke hatred. I opened up the show saying that even though Rick Pitino is already a top five college basketball coach of all time, I was making the argument he actually has the most to gain in this NCAA tournament. Because when you look at
three different schools winning it all, sure.
You look at the greatest coaches of all time in
one's
college.
One's wiped out, but that's besides
the point. Yeah, but we acknowledge it.
Yes.
We look at the greatest coaches of all time, right? You got Pitino, you got Wooden, you got Dean Smith, you got Coach K. You know, I would throw Calhoun in that conversation. Mm-hmm. You got Adolph Rupp, like just some of the legendary coaches that we've ever seen. If Pitino could win three national championships at three different schools and also has a Final Four at Providence, I wonder how then people are going to, how far they're going to move him up. Mm-hmm. And the way that I said it would, for me, he would be the most impressive college basketball coach of all time. And I know, I think I know exactly what you're going to argue, so I'll let you do that right now.
He is a phenomenal coach. Make no mistake about that. But there is a reason why he is at St. John's now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take that away from him either. But he, as I just said about Coach K, is also remarkable in the fact that he has changed his philosophy in the way he does things. So when he first got to Providence and took them to the Final Four, he was the first to really adopt the three-point shot. Obviously, he won with stars at Kentucky. He had, you know, look, Donovan Mitchell's a pro and is a great pro. But for the most part, he had guys that were very, very good, if you will, program players at Louisville. So he won in different decades.
Luke Hancock,
with different, different teams in different decades in different ways. And now he's totally embraced the portal, you know, and he calls it like it is. You know, hey, I'm not recruiting high school kids and I don't have to go into anybody's living room. Here's the check. Let's go and play.
Right now, who's the most impressive college basketball coach that you've ever seen?
Coach K. I was
more so than Wooden.
Well, I was alive for Wooden, mm-hmm. but really I was seven when he retired. So,
oh, okay.
You know, Dean Smith would have to be there, but again, just the way, you know, Dean Smith was also part of a time, and certainly no disrespect to the guy, the reason I'm a North Carolina fan, but he did his thing his way, which I totally respect, but at a time when the game didn't change as much. He did change the game by integrating not only North Carolina, but the ACC, getting Charles Scott, but, you know, Coach K over time has been able to roll with the punches and a very big changing landscape.
And it would be crazy because you look at the years that he won the national championships, Petito, 96, 2013. If he's able to do one here in 2025, it's like three completely different eras. Like
absolutely.
You could put Petito anywhere.
Yeah.
And he could go find the way to win basketball games.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean,
put him in Greece, he could find the way to do so.
I will go back, and not to put myself into this, but I will go back to 1984, and he came to my camp to do a clinic.
Really?
Yeah, and it was the greatest thing I've ever seen. And he was an assistant coach for the Knicks at the time. And I'm just basically sitting there with my mouth open, and I said, I can't believe, and he took a guy, we had a counselor by the name of Ron Cavanaugh, who wound up playing for the Knicks in the 1984-85 season.
What kind of camp was this?
85-86, actually. It was a sports camp.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Ron Cavanaugh was 7 feet tall, and he put him under the basket with his arm up, and he said, you won't be able to block my shot. And Pitino is getting these shots off, and like Cavanaugh is just so frustrated. I mean, the things he did in the clinic, and I remember when Providence hired him, and based on what I saw that day, I'm like, boy, they just made a great choice. And 2 years later, they were in the Final Four.
And by the way, I know we were talking about Will Wade going to NC State. Mm-hmm. How about what McNeese is doing right now to Clemson?
You know, I thought when he said
the opposite effect of what we all thought was going to happen.
He was totally candid and totally open, and I guess the players are okay with it. You know,
31-15 right now.
Yeah, Clemson just looks very tight for whatever reason. I don't know. It's like you know, you want to say they the alarm didn't go off, but, you know, they didn't exactly have the first game of the day. So I don't know what's going on there because, you know, look, this is a team that's very, very good, but not today.
All righty, we'll take a timeout. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Evergreen, will come on back, and we'll get to some biggest questions that remain in the NFL offseason update time. Here is the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. We'll do a little football in just a second, but Stu, give me my NCAA tournament sounder, please. All righty, day one of the NCAA tournament and the games that actually matter, not the first four. Auburn is up 65-46 up against Alabama State. As long as Auburn holds on here with 8:50 remaining in the game, they will advance and they'll go up against Creighton, who earlier in the day defeated Louisville 89-75. Purdue did beat High Point 75-63. Wisconsin rolled Montana 85-66, and Houston stomped SIU Edwardsville 78-40. And going on right now, McNeese picking up where they left off, half number two. They're up 40-18 over Clemson. That's a 12-5 matchup. BYU, VCU, a good one. 3:49 remaining in the first half. BYU is up 29-26 over VCU. Gonzaga out of the gate early, up 15-2 up against Georgia in an 8-9 matchup. Gonzaga with 15-13 remaining in the first half. And that's what we got cooking right now on the Zach Gelb Show. Still to come, by the way. Wofford, Tennessee, Arkansas, Kansas, Yale, Texas A&M, Drake, Missouri, Utah State, UCLA, Omaha, St. John's, UC San Diego, Michigan, and UNC Wilmington, and Texas Tech. Now, the tip-offs for some of these games tonight. St. John's and Providence, Rhode Island, scheduled at 9:45 p.m. Oh, my God, that game won't start till 10. And Michigan, UC San Diego, that's in Denver. So that's 8 locally in Denver, 10 here on the East Coast. And in Kansas, you have UNC Wilmington, Texas Tech. Now, Kansas is, what, an hour behind us or 2 hours behind us? I forget exactly. But that's not scheduled tip-off until 10 p.m. Eastern time. Go be a late night tonight. I'll tell you, I'll be sleeping in tomorrow as we'll be recovering from all the college basketball. Anyway, Samter's got some questions for me that he wants answered as we have a lot of the offseason already in the books, but still some big questions remaining. So Samter will give me the question. I'll give you what the answer is. Go ahead, Moist Mike.
All right, so the biggest questions remaining in the NFL offseason, simply this is coming up here in April. Who's going to draft Cam Ward?
I think it's going to be Tennessee. I do. I think Tennessee is going to take Cam Ward with the number one overall pick. I don't think the Giants are going to be able to give up enough to move up from 3-1, which makes Tennessee move off that number one pick. So the Tennessee Titans are going to be getting Cam Ward, quarterback, Miami.
Now, this is probably the biggest question remaining. Where will Aaron Rodgers sign, or will he retire?
Ayahuasca Aaron is going to go to Pittsburgh. He's going to be the next quarterback of the, here we go, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they will not go to the Super Bowl. But Aaron Rodgers will be the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I wouldn't be surprised. I heard Diana Rossini. She was on with Dan Patrick this morning, and she still thinks he's going to wind up with the Vikings. So I threw that theory out there with the wording of Pelissero. Maybe the price will get so low that Minnesota will just say yes. But I still believe that Rodgers is going to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I think he'll be their quarterback this upcoming season.
Now, we saw Stephon Diggs bring back all of his images of the Bills back onto social media. Where do you think he ends up?
I think he's going to the AFC East, but I think he's going to my New England Patriots.
He's visiting with them this week, I think.
Yeah, and I think it was yesterday.
There we go.
But Stephon Diggs, here's why I think he's going to the Patriots. Money, targets, winning. Those are three things that receivers look for. And there's a priority order. And for Stephon Diggs, I think it's going to be targets, money, winning in terms of most important to least important. So the Patriots are not great for winning right now. But Stephon Diggs, even coming off the injury, would without a doubt be their best receiver. And also, the Patriots have been willing to offer a lot of cash to these wide receivers. Just no one has taken a bite out of the Patriots' apple. So I think Stephon Diggs actually to wind up with the New England Patriots.
All right, now we saw the Bears revamp their entire O-line, replacing 3 of the 5 starters. What do you think they're going to do in the draft?
I would say if he's available, Ashton Jeanty, running back, Boise State. If Jeanty isn't available, I could then see them getting another weapon for Caleb Williams by the name of Tyler Warren, the Penn State tight end. But right now I would say Ashton Jeanty, the running back out of Boise State, going to be going to the Windy City.
Now we've got Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson, two amazing candidates there for the Colts QB job. Who wins it?
Anthony Richardson's going to win it, but then he's going to lose it by November. So Daniel Jones will eventually be starting games for the Indianapolis Colts, but Anthony Richardson will win the job.
All right, but what's going to happen with Trey Hendrickson? That is the biggest remaining player who's still on a team who might not be on that team after he requested the trade.
I actually like that you haven't heard anything since the T. Higgins and Jamar Chase stuff. I know that right, there's been that report that they're working to iron out a new deal. Like that, to me, you'll know by the draft. If they don't trade him by the draft, then what's the point of trading him afterwards? Now, he could continue to say, oh, he's not going to play, stuff like that. You still have him under contract. I think they will find a way to alter the contract. It's not going to be exactly what he wants, but they'll be able to sweeten the pot enough to delay Trey Hendrickson leaving the Cincinnati Bengals for another year.
All right, and last one, where will Shedeur Sanders end up?
Why'd you say it like you were like my grandfather?
Shedeur Sanders.
I think he is going to be with the Cleveland Browns. I think the Cleveland Browns, we're going to go. I'm back on the quarterback train, Stu. 1-2 quarterbacks in the draft. Shedeur going to Cleveland second overall. Cam Ward going number one overall to Tennessee.
Did you see who the Browns are also interested in and have mutual interest with?
Oh, a quarterback.
A quarterback.
Yes. His career came and went. Carson Wentz. Is this just the offseason of Mac Jones signing with the Niners? They wanted to draft him. They didn't do so. There was a thought that they were going to draft Carson Wentz in Cleveland. If now he goes to Cleveland, geez Louise.
And the Jets were almost going to take Justin Fields over Zach Wilson, number two.
Yeah.
So there we go.
A bunch of rejects getting their chances year later.
Could you imagine the Browns going into the season with Kenny Pickett and Carson Wentz as their top quarterbacks?
Well, I'm a Kenny Pickett stan, so.
Oh, that's true. You and Chris in California.
I'm not going to say anything negatively about my guy, Kenny Pickett, or Chris's guy, Kenny Pickett, who may be Kenny Pickett, but we don't know. I was thinking of Mount Rushmore for Duke hatred, right? Because we were talking about that. And I don't hate Duke, but if I did hate Duke, it would be Leitner, J.J. Redick, who I can't stand. Leitner, J.J. Redick, Grayson Allen, and then I think that a lot of people would put Coach K on there too. So I think those would be the four names for Mount Rushmore if you're trying to make the statue and create it on Duke hatred. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Auburn 68-47 up against Alabama State. I think the story of the day right now, the two biggest takeaways of this tourney so far for me, is just how easily Creighton beat Louisville, 89-75. That's going to set up a matchup in all likelihood, Creighton and Auburn. Auburn could be on upset alert come Saturday. But right now, it's the Will Wade story. And we'll see if they can hold on. But McNeese is up over Clemson, 45-24. And remember, Will Wade's going to be the next coach at NC State. So 12:05 remaining in that first half, in the second half in the ballgame, as we're locked into day one of the NCAA tournament.